Adam Carter in for Chad on this Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. It is Twins Ticket Tuesday, and that means before the show is over, you're going to hear that Twins sounder that is unique to the Chad Hartman Show. And if you are the 728th caller, you will get a four-pack of tickets to a week from Friday, August 28th, when the Twins host the Chicago White Sox, the Southsiders, in a pivotal division series. Hopefully it's pivotal. That Friday is also Yacht Rock Night at Target Field, featuring live Yacht Rock music, $2 beers, snacks, and hot dogs. Tickets available now at twins.com/tickets. Twins Ticket Tuesday, always driven by Luther Kia of Bloomington. Visit the new showroom today or always at LutherKiaofBloomington.com. Trying to get in touch with former Governor Arne Carlson, and hopefully we'll do that before the show is over, but things happen sometimes, miscommunication, and it's okay. I was reminded of something today that happened 16 years ago today. Actually, I looked at it. It was actually yesterday, but I think it was a two-day event. And I'll give you a chance to think about that. So this would have been August 17th/18th of 2010. Something unique happening to Minnesota and something in the sports world. I'll give you a beat to think about it. And it leads me to this question I'm going to ask you right now. Either in somebody you know's life or somebody, a celebrity's life, an athlete's life, when has somebody come back when they shouldn't have come back, when they stuck around too long? And here's why I'm asking that. On this day in 2010, do you remember? I was still a news reporter at WCCO Radio, and I was waiting at downtown St. Paul Airport because we thought that Brett Favre would be flying back into the Twin Cities. He had been picked up in Mississippi. I believe it was Jared Allen, Ryan Longwell, another on-air show meeting. Should we just talk about this on air?
Yeah, Governor Carlson should be calling in any second.
Okay.
We're having trouble connecting on his phone, but I think he's calling us right now.
Well, let's do this. Should we? Let's get him on, and I'll save it. I'll save that conversation. Live radio, folks. Sometimes things work out. We have to shuffle things around. I'll bring that topic back. But the reason we wanted former Governor Arne Carlson on the show is obviously he has been a vocal opponent of mining near the Boundary Waters for many years. And now with this news today that Governor Walz has signed this executive order prohibiting new permitting for mines, we wanted to go to Governor Carlson, who has been very critical of Governor Walz. Governor Carlson, thank you so much for the time today and joining us with a laugh. I appreciate that on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. All right, your reaction to Governor Walz's actions today, I guess victory, relief, or what took so long?
Well, wonderful. Absolutely delighted. We have to come to grips with the enormous harm that comes from sulfide mining. And right now there's three projects, and Governor Walz, much to his credit, has knocked one of them out, and that still leaves two, and they have the potential to release arsenic and mercury into the waters of the Great Lakes and the Mississippi River, and that will affect the drinking water of over 60 million people. So we have to take care. The medical community for over a dozen years has been petitioning Minnesota government, Democrats and Republicans, to please include in the mining laws a health impact assessment. And it has never been done. There hasn't even been a single hearing by the legislature, again, Democrat or Republican, on the subject. And that has to end right now. And I hope the governor's step opens the door to public discussion and some real improvements in how we permit others to work with our water.
So this would be an examination of the physical health of people who live in that area as opposed to just the damage it would do environmentally. This would be actually the harm it would cause people who live in that area. What don't people know about that you think they should know?
Well, what the Minnesota medical community is deeply concerned about, and this includes the University of Minnesota, the Mayo Clinic, they want a health impact study to make sure that our drinking water is pure and it's healthy. There has never, ever been a sulfide mining operation that has not caused irreparable environmental damage. And that quote, by the way, comes from Walter Mondale. And unfortunately, what's also entered into the picture is the role of big money. And let's not kid ourselves, the American political system is very heavily influenced by the power of moneyed interests. And as a matter of fact, one of the mines, New Range copper nickel mine, is owned by Glencore. And I believe it was in 2022 that they pled guilty in U.S. federal court to charges of bribery of public officials and market manipulation, and agreed to a fine of $1.1 billion. And yet we in Minnesota are allowing them to seek a permit, allowing them to potentially harm Lake Superior and therefore the entire Great Lakes system, and yet we don't have a single public hearing, either in the legislature or any reforms being submitted by the governor. None.
When you were governor, where was this issue? Did you face were they trying to do this when you were governor, or what has changed from that time until now?
What a curious question. My wife asked me the same question. So I did look it up. No, this thing really started back around 2005, 2006. And you may recall the first episode involved the Land Exchange Board when Rebecca Otto was state auditor. And she voted against the land exchange that permitted what then has become known as the Polymet mine from being able to acquire state lands. And for that, she was frankly drummed out of office. That's how powerful the mining interests are. She paid a tremendous price, and I hail her courage. But it goes back roughly to 2005. The medical community became a strong spokesman over the last 12 years.
You have been extremely critical of Governor Walz for his past decisions and his past actually, cozying up to these mining companies. Is this action too little too late from him?
No, fortunately it's not. The real question is, will the rest of the Democratic Party and hopefully the Republican Party pick up on this and say no? The protection of Minnesota's healthy water is paramount over all else. Right now, about 53% of our waters are impaired. And that's a study that comes from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. So over half our waters are already lost. And we cannot afford any further damage to them. So I hope both political parties will say no. The health and well-being of Minnesotans is absolutely paramount, and it's certainly a lot more important than campaign contributions.
What are the chances that that happens, though? I mean, I don't see any avenue right now in this country to say an appetite for, like, really reforming political contributions and siding with companies over people. I don't see an end to that.
Well, it's a tough road, but it's either that or we don't have a democracy anymore, and frankly, we don't have a country. I mean, that's really what's at stake. This election is unbelievably important, and it's up to us, the people, to sharply question our candidates. What's interesting about this interview is that it's been with me, a former elected official, and not with the current elected officials who are seeking re-election. Isn't it interesting how Governor Walz took action? And yet all those seeking re-election or seeking election have been silent.
Yeah. Or complaining against it, saying that this is the wrong move.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. Well, Lisa Damith saying that this is the wrong move. Of course, Tom Emmer, Pete Stauber, they think this is...
Oh, my gosh.
They think this is just playing politics, that this is Governor Walz, who's a lame duck governor, simply saying... thumbing his nose at the Trump administration and thumbing his nose at a congressional decision which opened this area to mining.
I am stunned. I am stunned at that. I just cannot imagine any human being serving the well-being of others saying no to the health impact study, saying no to the, to healthy drinking water and putting money above all else.
Texter says, Governor, forgive me because I'm not familiar with this, but Texter wants to point out that the Eagle Mine in Michigan is a similar safely operating non-ferrous mine. Do you know of that, and is that true?
I don't know of it, and if it were true, the advocates of mining would have used that as an example of how it applies to Minnesota, and they certainly haven't. Yeah. The result is, as I said, I think since roughly 19, well, certainly for the last 10 years, there's not been a single hearing in the legislature, whether it be Democrat or Republican control, on anything that in any way, shape, or form reforms our mining laws.
There, you've heard the arguments, too, that this is the a part of Minnesota that needs these jobs, that needs this influx in development. What do you say to that, to people, the very real need for folks up there to, you know, get a job and have a gainful employment?
I think that's a very legitimate concern, but it doesn't mean we poison our water for it.
Yeah.
What it does mean, we start to look at some creative ways in which we can induce industry and business to come to impacted areas of Minnesota. One would be, and I've suggested this a long time ago, and it hasn't produced any kind of discussion, taking operations of government, particularly parts of the DNR, the Department of Natural Resources, and maybe pollution control, and moving some of their operations up north. One that would be closer to the clients that they serve and the environment that they serve. And two, I think government operations should be dispersed around the state. And I think that's a start. The other one is to start to toy with the idea of tax inducements. So there's all sorts of ways in which we can grow the economy and grow jobs without destroying our health.
Lastly, and I thank you for the time as always, sir, I follow you on Facebook and I see your posts from time to time. And I saw a recent one where you were disputing somebody had apparently said you endorsed a candidate and you were saying you hadn't done that. But I want to ask you, when it comes to the governor of Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar, or Lisa Damith, or U.S. Senate, Peggy Flanagan, Michelle Tafoya, are you endorsing any candidates at this point? Who do you like?
At this point, I am not endorsing. Okay. I've written letters to all of them and asking them to respond to certain inquiries, among them, by the way, the water issue. And so I'm waiting for responses to come back as to what they're going to do to improve the well-being of Minnesotans. And so I think, like all Minnesotans, I'm going to hold my voice back and wait and see what they decide to do. I think the fact that the Republican candidate for governor has come out against the actions taken to protect the BWCA, I think that's a disqualifying action on her part.
Can I just ask you one question about your time as governor?
Yeah.
Did you issue a lot of executive orders? I feel like this is symptomatic of a broken system where we have executives, both the president and now here at the state level, who seem to be end-arounding legislative bodies and administering these executive orders. Was that much of a thing when you were governor? And how do you see this kind of governance?
No, I think you're right. I think it's an example, frankly, of broken government. It truly is. We've got to get money out of politics. There's no question about it. I do remember one executive order that was immensely popular, and that's when I closed schools on a particularly frigid day. To this day, people come up to me and say, I love that one. Can you? And matter of fact, I'll tell you a funny story. My daughter, who paid little attention to politics, her classmates suddenly surrounded her and said, oh, can you ask your father if he can close them tomorrow, too?
Was that the 91 blizzard, Governor? Was that the 91 blizzard?
I don't know which one. I don't know what it was, but boy, was it popular.
Yeah.
But no, to your point, government and governance is about forming partnerships and working with people and putting together substantive proposals and ideas that truly benefit the well-being of the public. Right now, 83% of Americans don't trust their government, and 85% of Americans are convinced that elected officials do not care one hoot about what they think. That's an enormous divide, and it's largely caused by the fact that elected officials are beckoning more and more towards big money, and that creates a separation with the very people that they're supposed to serve. I mean, I can send emails to elected officials, and rarely do I get a response.
Yeah. Can't get them on the air anymore.
Stunning. Yeah.
We can't even get them on the air. I used to be able to work, when I worked in the newsroom here, I could call up and get a congressman on the phone in a couple minutes. Now it's like, good luck. You can't even get a hold of them.
Yeah, no, you're right, because we as elected officials were very dependent upon you.
Yeah.
But now they're dependent on money so they can run endless ads telling us how virtuous they are.
Let's go. Let's me and you. We're going to run next. Let's go. Me and you. Let's announce that we're going to run again, Arnie. Let's go.
You're wonderful. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Governor. I appreciate the time as always, my friend. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks.
Arnie Carlson, 124, will react to what he had to say. Ran a little long, but it's okay because it's former Governor Arnie Carlson on CCO.